continue our discussions. Next item on the agenda is agenda paper 8 on the timing of PIRs. And I hand over to Lily.
Thank you, Andreas, and good afternoon, everyone. So the objective of today's session is to determine whether to start implementation reviews on the impairment and hedging requirements in IFRS 9 and the PIRs of IFRS 15 and IFRS 16. And just a reminder about post-implementation reviews, as you all know, the purpose is to assess the effectiveness of new standards on investors, preparers, and auditors. It is not a redeliberation of information that was existing at the time of setting the standard. It's an assessment of new information, and it's not a standard-setting project. So the outcome of PIR could be nothing. It could be educational materials. It could be research that could potentially lead to standard-setting. The due process handbook says that PIRs normally start 30 to 36 months after the effective date, and all three of these standards have hit that milestone of 30 months, which is why we're discussing them today. So we'll go through each standard in turn. I'll start with the impairment and hedging requirements in IFRS 9. You're all aware that last year we decided to split up the consideration of the PIRs in IFRS 9 based off of how the standard was developed. And in that regard, we started the classification and measurement PIR of IFRS 9 last year, but not impairment and hedging. And that was primarily due to the level of information that was available at the time and the desire for more information. Paragraphs 18 to 28 of Agenda Paper 8 lays out the developments of the information available to inform a PIR on impairment. And based on this, the staff recommends starting the impairment PIR in the second half of 2022. Hedging, on the other hand, is a slightly different situation. Although corporate entities are applying the hedging requirements in IFRS 9, many banks and insurance entities still apply IAS 39. In addition, academic information continues to be limited at this time. So paragraphs 30 to 37 of Agenda Paper 8 go through the pros and cons of starting a PIR on the hedging requirements now. And on balance, the staff recommend in this case not starting, but reassessing in half two of next year whether to begin the PIR of the hedging requirements. So I'll pause there to cover IFRS 9, and then we can move on to IFRS 15.
All right, thank you. Any comments? Mary?
On the one hand, I agree that the information we have currently about hedge accounting primarily by corporates would not give us enough of a base to do the hedge accounting assessment at this time, so I agree with deferring it. My question about going ahead with ECL, it comes back to the analysis that the staff provided that says, when we think about it, it's people who deal with hedging and the people who deal with ECL are different populations, so there aren't many synergies, so splitting it won't have much of an effect. I can see that certainly from a preparer perspective and to a great extent from an auditor perspective, but when I think about the user population, I'm not sure that holds, because I'd imagine a user follows an entity rather than a certain accounting issue for across a bunch of entities. And I'm just wondering if we will wear out our welcome going back to, pool of users three times on different aspects of IFRS 9. So that concern about users is what makes me wonder if we should hold off somewhat on ECL in order to do it at the same time as hedge accounting, because I agree that it's too early to do hedge accounting now.
Okay, shall we collect first? Anne?
Yeah, I think I was thinking similar lines to Mary, thinking about how you have to go to stakeholders, we have to engage with stakeholders, and how they feel about three bites at IFRS 9. I agree we can't do hedging until we have some experience of banks. It can't just be the corporates with the experience. I suppose the time pressure, if we look at ECL and we say, why do we need to go? So if we didn't do as Mary suggested, why do we need to go now on ECL? Well, time is ticking and we've already got 43 months there. We didn't want to go before on ECL because of the effects of the pandemic, and we've now got a nice stream of data, we think, of how ECL has behaved, because when IFRS 9 started, possibly a more benign environment, and now we've had the disruption. So we've had an economic disruption, but we had reasonable stability with the standard and people widely using it. So we could go for ECL now, and the reason we don't want to wait too much longer is, well, obviously we have a legal requirement to do our PIRs and to do them in a timely way, but the longer we wait, the more chance for practice to get established, for diversity to get established, for bad practice, if there was any, to get established. So they're all the reasons. So I think we're turning this decision on whether how we feel and how staff feels about doing it in three lots. So the paper argues quite strongly that the staff feel that will be okay. I take Mary's point with the users, but I think that's what the decision turns on. Probably on balance, I would say we'll go with the three. I'll be guided by the staff and I'll go with the three. But, you know, I think that's what it's turning on, because it is time to do it.
So my take, I agree with the staff position. And sort of the way I viewed it from a user perspective, I'm qualified here. I'm not outside my danger zone. Is there are pluses and minuses to going out multiple times versus one time. On the one hand, if you go out one time, you can get more people's attention. On the other hand, if you go out to users with discrete information requests, that's sometimes a little bit more manageable and digestible for them. So to me, those were offsetting. And it really came down to the internal considerations of, do we want to spin up three times to go out to people? And to that, I'm going to defer to the people who are going to be doing most of the work rather than myself to make the decision. And their guidance was it was probably best to go out multiple times. So I'm happy to defer to them on that.
Jinjiao?
Thank you. I suppose that was a proposal, but I think it's about the communication, why we decided to do PIR for ECL model and aging part separately. I think one of the reasons here we say that, okay, currently aging requirement only apply, currently it seems that only those corporate entity are applying aging requirement of IFRS 9. And paragraph 37 also said that, if no banks were intending to apply the hedging accounting requirement of IFRS 9 until the completion of a dynamic risk management project, it sounds like no bank or no many bank are applying the hedging accounting. But I think the message we got or built on, actually based on the message we received from Europe. For example, as I understand it, for all the Chinese banks actually apply IFRS 9 fully. So we needed to look at other, banks in other jurisdictions. Actually, they are applying the hedging requirements of IFRS 9 fully and already apply for 4 years. So I think we should communicate that, how can we try to deliver the sufficient correct message to the world to justify why, we decide to do separately. But obviously, the complete, the timetable of dynamic risk management project should be a good reason, but maybe other reason we should also consider. So it's really about the communication. But not say, oh, because some bank or say we have applied a requirement already 4 years, why you say no bank or very few bank applying this part of requirements of IFRS 9.
Yeah. Thank you. Do you want to go first?
Okay. So I'm happy to entertain the staff recommendation. I'm actually in favor of starting the PIR in the second half of 2022. Starting doesn't mean finishing in 2022. So I think if we do the same run as we did with classification and measurement. Probably the request for information will only be sent out sometime in 2023, really, by which time we would then have 5 years of available information. I think that, to me, would be sufficient, especially that, if we hope that we are getting out of that pandemic in one way, so we would actually get the information about the uptick again. So I'm clearly sympathetic to that. In terms of considering when to start the PIR for hedge accounting, IFRS 9, it was good that hearing Jin Zhao and reminding us there is a world outside of Europe. if I simply concentrate on Europe, my gut feeling would be this could be a long wait, because the majority of the banks probably won't switch, right? They will wait until we finalize DRM. So the question that I would then have for staff is, what are the criteria that we would use in order to determine the best point in time when to start? And I think Jin Zhao rightly reminds us, if there are banks outside of Europe that actually are using the IFRS 9 hedging model, could we not at least start or consider that we don't wait for too long? Shall we first? Mm? Yeah, Bruce and
Sue.
Sorry, Sue. Okay.
So, personally, I don't think there's a need to align the timing of the impairment and the hedge accounting bits of IFRS 9 in terms of trying to get those lined up. And I think I'm guessing, and Zach and Nick will know better than me, but my sense based on when we did the outreach with IFRS 9 is it tended to be quite a different user population that was interested in hedging. Basically, users didn't want to talk about hedge accounting is the main takeaway we had, whereas many were interested in ECL, so I'm not sure that we'd necessarily be going to the same population even if we split it up. I think the most important thing for ECL is giving people certainty and a commitment from us that we are going to do it. Sort of the date is sort of a little bit secondary, because I think there's a little bit of, to Jin Chao's communication point, a bit of concern that because we didn't do impairment with classification and measurement, that it's actually us kicking the can down the road because we don't want to do it, which isn't the case. But I think we need to give people comfort that's true by establishing a date. And I think by the end of 2022, we should be in a position to get good information on IFRS 9 ECL. So I think that's a good time to go. I think for me, I don't think it hurts to wait longer for the PIR of hedge accounting. I'm not so convinced, the staff is far closer to this than me, but I'm not so sure how many more banks we're going to get coming into IFRS 9. Well, I've still got the choice of sort of sticking to 39, because probably most, even outside Europe, are probably okay with using the grandfathering for now. And for me, I think a bigger consideration is perhaps if we do the impairment PIR, and then we contemplate doing 15 and then maybe, you know, thinking about 16, as a board we could end up just about doing nothing but talking about PIRs as well. And I'm not sure, you know, if I think about the number of people who are really going to be excited about the hedge accounting PIR relative to the number who are interested in spending time on, say, the revenue PIR, I think maybe that's another consideration for me as well. It's a sort of package of PIRs that the organisation itself we're looking at, as well as our stakeholders. So for me, that's another reason why I think there could be a benefit in actually focusing on the ECL first and thinking about hedge accounting a little bit later.
Bruce?
Thanks. So just to give my quick views on this, I mean, to start off with, I mean, I'm concerned about the two bites at the same stakeholder group. I mean, I do think that I mean, a lot of people, it's amazing. Whenever I've spoken to people about we're doing the PIR of IFRS 9, they all go, great, we can't wait to tell you about impairments. And I go, hang on, you know, that's later. And so I get worried that we're doing it in three stages. I think that's a bit concerning. Just from my experience, I mean, I think the reason we maybe haven't seen a flurry of academic research and things on hedge accounting is because, from my experience, people who were hedging under IAS 39 continued to hedge under IFRS 9, and people who weren't hedge accounting under IAS 39 didn't suddenly jump to decide to do hedge accounting under IFRS 9. So it wasn't as big a shift, I found. Sure, it brought in some changes, but people were if you were hedging and you understood hedging and you were doing hedging, you could move from 39 to 9, and they were quite comfortable to do that. So I don't think wasn't my expectation, and I'd be surprised if it's proven to be different. We suddenly saw this huge ramp up of people suddenly deciding to do hedge accounting under IFRS 9 when they weren't doing it under 39. So that's why, to me, I don't think it's as big an issue. When it comes to the timing, I mean, I do think we need to start the PIR of the ECLs, and I think that towards the end of next year, people have got a decent few years behind them. We've got some good experience, and I think we've got to be careful that we don't start facing criticism of, well, you guys said you'd do these a couple of years after you published them. Well, if you're going to delay another year, now we're starting to get on and on and on. We need to know when you're going to do these. And I think that, as I say, a lot of people have asked me, well, why are you doing the 10, 11, 12 ones now? I mean, these things were published years ago. And I just worry that we're going to start pushing it on. So, I mean, just from the timing point of view, I would definitely start the ECLs next year, the impairments. I think we've got to start looking at that next year. I would have bucketed hedging in there because I'd be very surprised if the people doing hedging will make comment if they feel there's a big problem with hedging. And for the other people who aren't doing hedging, they're not going to make comments. So I just think in terms of efficiency, I'd do it all in one. But if we decide to do it more than that, it's not a big issue.
Maybe to echo what Sue said in regards to IFRS 15, I would have aligned the timing of the PIR on IFRS 15 and on ECL. Of course, I perfectly appreciate that on ECL it's mostly banks that were impacted potentially, and for IFRS 15 it's mostly corporate companies that were impacted, of course. But when I remember when we did the transition project at the time in the company I was working for, we did ECL at the same time. So I think, of course, you recognize revenue, but you also recognize a trade receivable, and then all of a sudden you're asking yourself what you need to account as a potential provisioning of it. So I would align the two. And then honestly, on hedge accounting, whatever you want. I mean, whatever the majority will want. Zach made a fair comment on the internal resource. Maybe it's worthwhile considering potentially for the team to spread out the various PIRs on IFRS 9. So I would kind of echo Zach's comment earlier on that. So it would go for waiting for the PIR on edge accounting for this reason. But I don't have a very strong view. I mean, many comments were made and are very reasonable in a way or another. So
by saying consider in the second half, we still would give you room to decide that you want to start at the same time, right? With that, can I see a show of hands who agrees with the staff recommendation to start the PIR on ECL next autumn and reconsider hedge accounting? Excellent. Okay. The line.
Right, we'll move on to IFRS 15, and Bertrand provided a very nice transition there. So you might remember last year around this time, we considered whether to start the PIR on IFRS 15, and at the time the board decided not to, in part due to insufficient trend information, insufficient academic research, and just the desire for more of IFRS 15 experience to get embedded into the system. Paragraphs 42 to 48 discuss developments from last year. In particular, we have another year of trend information. We have more experience with the standard. And our expectation is in the second half of 2022, we will have academic research as well. So for that reason, the staff recommend that we begin the post-implementation review on IFRS 15 in the second half of 2022.
Comments on that?
I agree. I think the reasons that we delayed are not there anymore, and we have to do these. I think we need to get on.
Yeah, I agree with staff's recommendation, because if we decide to further delay to start this PIR, the stakeholder will not share what they are thinking. They just don't want to change anything at all after they establish everything settled. So I think now is the time to start based on the at the information we have.
See, your whole pen agrees with that.
Well. Okay. IFRS 16. So with IFRS 16, we're very much in a similar position to where we were last year with IFRS 15, given that it has an effective date 1 year after IFRS 15 and IFRS 9. Paragraphs 52 to 55 provide some background on the staff's recommendation that we wait to start the PIR and reconsider this question in half two of 2022.
Well, we've just talked about starting impairment and revenue, so I wouldn't want to start leasing as well. I think that we need some space for staff and board.
And I think there's been some disruptions around IFRS 16. I think it's different. We've had disruptions. We've actually changed the standard. We had the economic disruptions that, well, you could say revenue's been, the people who are recording revenue have been disrupted, but it's quite different, I think, with the leasing. So I think that we'd benefit from not from doing as the staff suggest and take some time and work on the other ones and then come round to this one.
Tom?
I agree with Anne's comments. At the same time, you may consider also things that some preparers wanted to transition at the same time for IFRS 15 and IFRS 16. Because they were impacted by both and potentially in their day-to-day operations. In the representation of their day-to-day operations, i.e. in terms of representing revenue. So it could mitigate a bit what you said, Anne. At the same time, the transition, they didn't, I'm not aware that many transitioned effectively as of January 1st, 2018, because they were not ready to transition for IFRS 16 at that date. So of course it delayed the trends we have for metrics by a year, then even for those. So having balanced and considered the two aspects, I would rather wait effectively for having at least an additional year of trends.
Lika?
Yes, I agree with what Bertrand and Anne already mentioned, especially about when I remember that IT system companies, application companies, when we ask a question 1 year, 1 year before the effective date, many of them still said they are still working on it. So that means the transition takes more time than what we normally expect. So even though the effective date come, but probably the even though the company need to prepare the financial statement in accordance with IFRS 16, but still they are working on the Excel sheet and a lot of other things besides the IT system. So I think we need to consider that kind of the transition takes time, especially about IFRS 16. So postponement of the decision will help the stakeholders.
I personally don't disagree with that. But I would request factoring in one further consideration, which Bertrand, I think, mentioned. There are companies for which 15 and 16 are relevant at the same time because they follow a business model where they are cross-cutting issues between the two standards. And for them, I think it makes sense, obviously, to test both standards at the same time and not be delayed and be held back. I don't have a good feeling as to how many there are, yeah, but this is a consideration that I would ask staff to actually figure out for us when we make the decision, when we reconsider then in the second half, to reconsider our tentative conclusion as to should we wait or should we actually start at the same time. That would be my recommendation.
To balance that, also, to mitigate again, I made the comment, so I yep. perfectly agree with what you just said, Andreas, but also to echo what Rika said, you think of it, one of the biggest ERP providers has just released its IFRS 16 module in 2021, i.e. More than 2 years after the release of the standard itself. So it means something. It means that it was difficult for them to achieve a comprehensive module encompassing all standards requirements. So let's wait. Let's wait also for, let's wait for companies to have potentially transitioned to their modules and see whether or not it has also simplified the day-to-day management of lease contracts in accordance with IFRS 16.
Okay. No more comments? Can I see a show of hands who agrees with the staff recommendation to reconsider in the second half of 2022?
12.
All right.
Brings us to the end of paper 8. Any further comments? No? Good. Thank you.
Yep. Andres, did you want to start now or did you want to go on a break?
Why not do a quick break? I think, yeah. Shall we restart at 4:15?